time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. This week, host Dana Rodriguez is joined by technical editor Kira Pace and teacher Lori Fisher. Here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you're having a lovely evening and had a great Thanksgiving week, by the way. And we also hope you can spend an hour of time with us tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're encouraging your participation in every way possible other than going to your door and knocking on it. But we are encouraging your participation. We hope you will give us a call with a question or answer. We'll be giving you some questions shortly. But if you have one in mind, you can always call. And those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. 415-841-4134. Oh, my God. Lori's opening up his Platts beer in the studio. 415-841-4134. Or toll-free 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. All it's missing is the paper bag around it.
Well, there's one in the office. I'll pick it up.
All right. Anyway, we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Feel free to give us a call. Try to get on as soon as possible. Sometimes we do get slightly crowded at the end of the show, but if you get on soon, we will put you on the air. So just to remind you of our email address, which has changed lately, so I'm going to say it's new for the next 6 months. That is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER 1, and that is the numeral 1, so that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Please don't use the old email. mindsovermatter1, the numeral 1, @gmail.com. Also, if you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org, and I've done it, kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, it should be available reasonably soon after our show tonight, also at kalw.org and iTunes, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So we're going to start with a round of introductions. Spent a lot of time with none of this. I don't know.
A lot of work.
Start with
a... Yeah. You didn't come to rehearsal today. No. That's the problem. Mm.
Okay. So Kira Pace just wrote this and handed it to me. I feel like Steve Harvey. So... All right. This is the first intro.
Maybe she
Kira Pace will grow up to be a
debaser.
Debaser. Okay.
It just means I've been listening to a lot of Pixies' Doolittle lately. It's an album I listen to when things are very angry making around me, so I've been listening to it a lot.
That's way under my head.
What was the intro? Read it again. I didn't get any of it.
What?
Well, can you read the intro again?
It's not going to help.
Well, I know that. But I didn't get any of it.
Kira Pace will grow up to be a debaser.
Oh.
Debaser. Okay.
All right.
Next.
Big fans of Boston alt-pop from the 80s and 90s, are you?
Yeah. There you go.
And most of our audience is, too,
yeah.
So not to worry.
Oh, no, yeah. Surely. Okay, well, for the second consecutive year, Lori Fisher has received a phone call that he is probably not going to be Time Magazine's Person of the Year. And, as might be predicted, he withdrew his name from consideration. The position is still open.
It is. And it won't be me. I've turned the
You didn't back. Want the in-depth interview, I guess.
I didn't want the photograph. The interview would have been fine.
All right.
And if Roy Moore loses the Senate race, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, thinks the future perfect job for him would be as judge on the Miss Teen USA pageant.
So, all right. And that is us. And we begin the questioning with... the debaser, Kira Pace.
Yes.
Pixie.
I have a feeling you're going to love all my questions this evening.
She's already debased herself enough by the end of the show. Apparently it's not enough. All right.
We'll see.
All right. So back in 2014, Ben Blatt of Slate magazine crunched the numbers to determine the top 10 celebrities mentioned in 29 years of David Letterman top 10 lists.
Wow.
Who are they? I will note that Letterman himself is mentioned in more of the top 10 lists than anybody else on this list, but we're not including him. And these numbers come from the 20 years of lists between September or 29 years of lists between September 1985 and September 2014. So, 10 celebrities.
So 30 years of lists.
That were mentioned in the top 10 list.
Yes.
Not that read it or anything like
Correct,
that.
Correct. That were mentioned. So we're
Regis Philbin.
Number one.
Yeah.
Yes. Number one.
And I would think...
That's a bell, sir.
Yeah. How about Oprah?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Of course, too. Sorry.
Okay.
Does this correlate to the amount of time the celebrities that spent on the show?
No. No.
So Madonna would not be one?
Well, she could.
Or Cher?
She could be one.
Both of them
Is Madonna one?
Madonna is number five.
All right. Is Cher one?
No, she's not.
Okay.
But that's very similar to the kinds of people he would pick.
I watch that show every day, basically.
I watch the top 10 list a lot.
Yeah.
I was just surprised that Boutros Ghali is not on it.
Not in the top 10.
No, huh? Not in the top 10.
All right.
So what are the years for this?
The lists, the numbers were crunched from September 1985 to September 2014.
Okay. All right.
When did he go off the air?
Was it 2014? I think it was...
No, 2015.
Okay.
May or something like that.
And okay. What's the total count that Regis had?
I did not write it down, but it was a lot.
All right.
Yeah,
a lot.
How about George Bush?
No.
No.
Is Donald Trump on there?
Number four.
Oh, right. Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting.
Oh, he's been a punchline for years.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was on the show quite a few times.
So if you would read that just once more.
Sure. In 2014, Ben Blatt of Slate magazine crunched the numbers to determine the top 10 celebrities mentioned in 29 years of David Letterman top 10 lists. Who are they? And we already have Regis Philbin, Oprah Winfrey, Donald Trump, and Madonna.
All right. And Laurie, you go ahead.
All right. A couple of weeks ago, a woman named Tiffany Haddish, I might be mispronouncing her name, hosted Saturday Night Live. And at the end of the show, she celebrated by saying... to me, unbelievably, that she was the first African-American stand-up comedian to host the show. So it turns out she was. And so here's my question is, as follow-up, who were the first three African-American women to host Saturday Night Live? And to give you a note, it took 24 years to have three African-American female hosts. And then I'll throw in who was the first African-American male to host the show, which was in 1977.
Well, that one. Oh, I'm sorry. Were you gonna?
No, go ahead. If
that's Richard Pryor,
yeah.
Right?
No.
What?
Oh, it's not.
Not according to the list.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I should check on that because it occurs to
that
me
that was
he did.
Like the first or second show, basically, Richard Pryor, I think.
All right. Well, then, if that's true, somebody can check. But then we'll go for the second one.
Okay.
Let's assume Richard Pryor was the first one. Said the second African-American male and the first three African-American women.
Well, Halle Berry was one.
Yeah,
she hosted.
She was the third one.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
I'm just surprised that Whoopi Goldberg. Yeah, I had heard the same thing, and I was shocked that she'd never hosted.
I was shocked, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she hadn't.
Did Oprah ever host
the
show?
Yeah, Oprah was second.
All right. Well,
she's coming up twice tonight. So we're now looking for the first African-American male, I mean female, and either the first or second African-American male.
See, Denitra Vance is actually a player, I think, so not her. She's early, though.
Early, but not the host.
Yeah, not
I don't
the host.
Think ever, yeah.
Yeah.
The Julian Bond.
That's correct.
Yes.
Julian Bond. Do you know him?
No.
Yeah. Former state senator, Georgia state senator, who was a big wig in the civil rights movement.
And I think he was with Martin Luther King when Martin Luther King was shot. Yeah. So the first African male was a politician and later on was followed by Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. All right. Very good. Huh. So we're still looking for the first African-American women.
All right.
Woman. Very nice.
Can you give us a hint of how long ago that was?
Well, you can figure it out. We'll go backwards. Halle Berry was third, and she was 2003. So 24 years before that, 1979.
All right. 1979.
And then it took 7 years for Oprah after the one we're missing.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Here from Hayward.
Hi, Gareth.
You were on my Saturday Night Live, weren't you?
Yes, we were.
The first African-American man as a host on Saturday Night Live?
The first African-American woman, we were wondering who the...
Oh, I thought you were first African-American male.
We got that. It was Julian Bond.
Julian Bond.
Unless it was Richard Pryor.
I thought the first African-American male to host Saturday Night Live was Richard Pryor.
Well, yeah, there's a dispute. We'll settle it in the alley after the show.
Because I remember he did a show as early as 1975.
Well, that would be Julian Bond was 77, so you're probably right.
Right.
Well, I've got a couple of questions.
Okay, go ahead.
What war movie that featured both William Holden and Sophia Loren had two different endings?
What movie featuring William Holden and Sophia Loren had two different
endings? That was filmed with two different endings.
Was Frank Sinatra in it too?
No.
Oh, okay.
The only one I could think of where they were both in was The Key.
Yes, give yourself a...
Which is not a very well-known movie. And what's the other one? What's the other question?
Joseph Sifano, who is best known as the executive producer and mainly writer in the first season of The Outer Limits, wrote the screenplay for a Hitchcock film. You know what it was?
Joe Stefano from The Outer Limits adapted a screenplay for a Hitchcock film. Was it in the 60s?
Yes.
Well, didn't he have something to do with Psycho?
Yes, give yourself a bell.
Right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Speaking as we were of the Outer Limits.
It said the Outer Limits. My phone started talking about the Outer Limits after you said that. Yeah.
Siri, was that
Don't
Siri?
Don't say
Siri, tell us about the Outer Limits. All right.
Now we get the answers
from
her.
That was a great show.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Right. Hey, was the Saturday Night Live First Lady, was she a singer primarily?
No, not primarily.
Not primarily.
Well, I'm going to say I don't know that she was a singer at all.
Ever. Okay.
Yeah, I just was following her primarily. Yeah.
All right. Don't mind me then.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight, Kira Pace, DePacer, technical editor also.
DePacer. I can't even say my own last name.
And Lori Fisher. Professor Emeritus, Davao Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. We want to encourage you to call. If you have a question or answer for us, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. I know it sounds like we're not trying to encourage you because we've only taken one call so far, but we are. All right, let me give you a couple questions, and I will start taking some more calls here. Okay. So, what is the most translated book by an American author? What is the most translated single book by an American author? It's been translated into 65 different languages.
Catcher in the Rye?
No. And second part of the question, what is the most translated children's book by an American author?
Back to the first one. What about something Mark Twainy, like Tom Sawyer or Huckleberry Finn?
Huckleberry Finn.
That's correct. Nice.
All right. Now, so what is the most translated children's book by an American author?
How about Goodnight Moon?
No.
Mm-mm. That's good. Maybe let's go sad. Let's go maybe Old Yeller or Charlotte's Web. How about Charlotte's Web?
Buenos noches, Luna. I'm sorry.
Au revoir.
Charlotte's Web?
Yeah.
No, not Charlotte's Web.
Oh, is it a picture book or a Charlotte's Webby book?
There are pictures in it.
Hmm.
So what is the most translated children's book?
Oh, what about The Hungry Caterpillar?
That is correct.
Oh, nice work.
All right. Moving on. Okay. What are the five most recognizable symbols around the world?
The cross.
I'll give you each. I think they were not using religious symbols in this. Okay,
so corporate or country symbols, that kind of thing.
Yeah, all the above.
Are you talking typographical symbols or? Okay, so it's any sort of symbol.
Well, would a flag count?
Yes, flag would count.
How about the American flag?
No.
Okay.
What are the five most recognizable symbols around the world, non-religious?
What about the at sign?
That's an interesting guess. No, not that.
Or a hashtag slash Octothorpe?
No.
But the at sign would... do you think they counted things like that?
This is beyond the internet. Okay, let's put it that way.
Okay, so how about the McDonald's arches?
That.
Okay.
Okay.
Are we more in that? Are they more in that direction?
Yes.
Okay, what about like the Red Cross?
No.
Neither of the crosses.
The McDonald's arches is number two.
And how about the Starbucks mermaid?
No.
What about the Coca-Cola?
Coca-Cola is number three.
So what is it, their logo?
I guess their logo.
Or their script?
Yeah. Yeah. So what are the five most recognizable symbols around the world? So far we have the McDonald's arches is number two. Coca-Cola is number three. What are the other three? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
What about the peace symbol?
No.
Oh, wow.
Okay, too bad.
That would have been nice.
Beaten out by the McDonald's symbol, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
I have a question for all you English majors out there.
All right.
I have created a poem in eight lines. And I say created because I didn't write it. I stole the lines. You have to tell me who I stole them from.
Okay, so you're going to read eight poets.
You're going to read eight lines, and each one is by a different poet.
Yes.
Yikes. All right, everybody get their pens out.
I'll read through it first, and then maybe do line by line.
All right.
So the title is Death to Poets, and you could decide if there's any punctuation in there. Mm-hmm. I have measured out my life with coffee spoons, lonely as a cloud. Stop all the clocks. Cut off the telephone. Here is the deepest secret nobody knows. Because I would not stop for death. Oh, captain, my captain, our fearful trip is done. Tiger, tiger, burning bright, do not go gentle into that good night.
So could you say them once more, but put the numbers before?
Yes, line one. I have measured out my life with coffee spoons.
Okay, so that's T.S. Eliot.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Okay. You can have the next three.
I could answer, I think, two.
All right, you get the next one. Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Line two, lonely as a cloud.
I wandered lonely as a cloud. That's
Dickinson, right?
No.
No, I always say it's Dickinson because this always comes up and I always get it wrong.
That's not Yeats, is it?
I don't think so. I think it's Wordsworth.
Wordsworth? Yeah. Oh, you're right. Yeah, yes. Okay.
Okay, line three, stop all the clocks, cut off the telephone.
That I don't know.
I'll guess later.
Here's a hint. This is one of the three poets in this list who are better known by their initials than their first and middle name.
E.E. Cummings.
No, it's not him.
So are we still number three or number four now?
That's number three.
Okay. Initials, okay.
Number four. Here is the deepest secret nobody knows. Nope. Also one of the initial folks.
No, go ahead.
Keep going.
Line five. Because I would not stop for death.
Death stop? Well, that's Dickinson.
Yep.
Give that to Kira.
What?
That's generous. Line six. Oh, captain, my captain, our fearful trip is done.
That's Whitman.
Mm-hmm.
Give people a chance.
I'm sorry.
Line seven.
I don't often know this, so that's why I'm kidding.
You're doing good. Tiger, tiger, burning bright.
Kira?
No, I don't know that. I would just guess Kipling.
William Blake.
Yep. And line eight, do not go gentle into that good night.
Dylan Thomas.
There you go.
Very good.
So how many didn't we get?
Two.
Two. Both the three and four are the ones with initials.
Yes.
Is number four, here's the deepest secret, is that A.E. Housman?
No.
Okay.
No, the name has come up already.
Oh. Oprah.
Read.
It's not Donald Trump.
Could you read the line once more?
Oh, E.E. Cummings, then.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, here is the deepest secret nobody knows from the poem, I Carry Your Heart With Me.
I'd like to point out that when I wrote that down, it was all in lowercase letters.
Yep.
With no at sign. So we're only missing stop all the clocks.
Stop all the clocks, cut off the telephone.
That's another initials one. Yeah.
Is that an American?
Originally British, but he spent a lot of his life in America.
P.G. Woodhouse?
No.
No, you can't say Eliot because it's the other way around. Who's being British, but he spent a lot of time in America?
Oh, did he work maybe on Broadway as well? Like, did he do screenplay, or I'm sorry, like theater script type things? Is that why he came to the U.S.?
No.
Okay.
Not that I am aware of.
We could leave it out.
We can leave it out there.
Yeah. All right.
Very good.
It's a very good question, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
Good job.
We all like that. All right, thanks.
All right.
All right, on hold. In the meantime, Kira, you go ahead.
All right. Oddly enough, I have a similar style of question.
Similar.
It's both similar and similar. Sorry. Right. So there are four answers required. The first answer is the surname of the character actor who directed the novelty video for the highest-ranked song in Dr. Demento history. If you take that surname and you change one letter, you get the second answer, which is the surname of the woman who wrote and performed the Grammy-winning theme song to the film that was her acting debut. Change another letter to get the third answer, which is the first name of a Coen Brothers character who is a playwright living out of the Hotel Earl in a room next door to a serial killer. And finally, change the one more letter to get the fourth answer, which is the surname of the genre-transcending actor whose primary and ultimately unmet goal in his soul music video appearance was arresting the band. This man was better known for his roles in a number one miniseries, a children's show, and a sci-fi franchise. Did a lot of stuff. Anything?
This is great.
No, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I'm not getting it.
Yeah.
Aims for not bad.
Yeah. I think you got that. Give us the first one again.
Yeah, surname, last name, of the character actor who directed the novelty video for the highest-ranked song in Dr. Demento history.
Highest-ranked song in Dr. So how many years? Is this relatively recently?
Well, the song is from the first half of the 80s. I'll say that the character actor died pretty recently, within the past year.
Is it Harry Dean Stanton?
No. That's a good guess.
That's
a
good recently dead character actor, yeah.
Though I think you might be able to break in either on the Coen Brothers one or on the second clue, which is the surname of the woman who wrote and performed the Grammy-winning theme song to the film that was her acting debut.
So just that by itself. Wrote and performed the Grammy-winning song in her acting debut.
Jennifer Hudson?
Much earlier.
Oh. Much earlier.
Much earlier.
Well.
So it wasn't Streisand.
Mm, well, I guess it's in a Streisand period of time when
Sophie
Streisand
Tucker
was making movies.
But they, you know, Streisand wrote some songs, but not. Yeah. And Sophie Tucker,
right.
I don't think.
All right.
Keep going.
The third one was the first name of a Coen Brothers title character.
Oh, title character.
That's Barton.
Barton. That's right. Barton Fink. So now you have the third one. So you can.
Okay. So in each one, you're changing one letter.
One letter.
All right.
So the one above it is going to be one letter off from Barton.
I will leave it to the audience to pass judgment on this question. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello? Anybody there?
I have number two.
Which is?
It's Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton wrote 9 to 5.
Yeah. And next call.
Whew.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. No?
So Jeff in San Francisco.
Hi, Jeff. Okay, we got you. Go ahead.
Good. Well, you got Dolly Parton, so let me move on to some others. Back to the David Letterman top 10.
Yes.
How about Michael Jackson?
That's awesome. Number 6.
Good. Nice.
And then what about Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oddly enough, no.
Good guess.
Okay,
it's
then
a great
I'm going to guess Johnny Carson.
No.
Mm-mm. Okay, well, I'm exhausted there. SNL host, I'm going to get first early African-American female host, Whoopi Goldberg.
No, Whoopi never hosted.
No.
Yeah. Great guess,
and
but
you,
not her.
I'm not sure I heard you say no singers, because I was going to guess Whitney Houston.
You know, it's not Whitney Houston. I don't know. I know she performed.
She was on the show.
Oh, yeah. But I don't think she hosted, but it's not. It would be before her. It was 1979.
Okay.
This person's not a singer.
All right. I'm exhausted with that.
need a nap.
With, With symbols, what about the Olympic ring?
That is number one.
Wow.
Ahead of McDonald's, huh?
Yeah.
And then these may not be so much signs. I was thinking the male and female symbols, the circles with the...
No.
Mm-mm. No. Okay, well, that's all I've got tonight.
Well, thank you. You did very well. Thank you very much.
Okay.
The Statue of Liberty, one of the symbols?
No.
Okay, so it's not...
But these are more international than...
And more... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, rather than just
although
country.
It's well-known.
Right. Oh, what about MasterCard or Visa?
No.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
Good.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. On the symbols?
Yes.
Mercedes-Benz.
No, that is actually... That is on in the top... 10 or 20, but no, not in the top 5.
How about the use of the Windows for Microsoft?
Nothing really computer-oriented.
Oh, so
okay.
Not the Apple symbol either.
Right,
then.
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Give it a couple more years.
All right.
Thank you very much. And Lori, it's your turn.
All right. I'm sort of taking a page from the Kira book. There's an introductory question here, and when you get it, which you will, it leads to another question. In the original script of what movie was this line changed to a really famous line? This line, the original line was, Hitler or no Hitler, kiss me. What movie is that from, and what line
well, I
did it
I guess that would be Casablanca, mm-hmm. And, well, I'll let Dana finish it because I don't remember
the
lines.
It is Casablanca, so give a bell for that, half a bell.
Was it changed to Here's Looking at You, Kid?
No.
Was it changed to We'll Always Have Paris?
No.
Oh. What's the last thing they say? Is it the
this
last
the
thing they say?
It's the beginning of a beautiful relationship. It's not.
Okay.
It could be, but it's not that. It's a line about kissing, actually. What did that was changed? The kiss is still in there.
Hmm. All right. Let's take a
I'll tell you. So we'll get to it's right. Kiss me as if it were the last time. And then the script itself, which I look up, it says he looks into her eyes and then he does kiss her as though it were going to be the last time. But it leads to this question in the introduction to the movie. There's a narrative voice that comes on that gives the background to the movie. It has a spinning globe with a map. The narrator mentions 6 different places in the world in his introduction to Casablanca. What are the 6 places that
he
mentioned?
Refugees going from city to city.
Yeah. And I also, as part of his thing, he also repeats the same word at the end 4 times. So I'm looking for the 6
they
places
all
that
want
are mentioned.
The plane to Lisbon.
Yeah, that's one of them.
Casablanca.
That's
Lisbon.
Another.
They make the long, torturous journey.
They're very good at the voice.
Let's see. What are the
There's
6
There's a new
cities?
Book out about the making of Casablanca. Are you on this? So we have Liz. So the question is, which 6 cities does the voice that Dana impersonated very well here mention? Lisbon is mentioned 3 times, Casablanca once, and at the end, the narrator mentions the same word. It's not a city, 4 times. What's that word?
No, wait a minute. The word you're looking for, is it a city's name?
No, it's not a city. It's just part of the repetition at the rhetorical flourish at the end. We'll get back to that. I'm looking for the 4 other places that are mentioned.
All right, read that once more.
All right, so the kiss of the original line of Hitler or no Hitler, kiss me became kiss me as were the last time, and then in the introduction, a globe is spinning. It focuses in on one particular part of the world, and the narrator mentions 6 places. Lisbon, he mentions 3 times. He mentions Casablanca. That's the last place he mentions. What are the other 4 places? And then he ends intoning something very rhetorically impressive in a way. He mentions it 4 times. That's what I'm looking for, Woody. And then the movie starts.
Does he say it 4 times in a row?
With an and before the 4th one, yes.
Oh, I kind of remember.
And it's something people in the movie are doing. That might just give it away.
They're...
It's one of the cities, maybe Madrid?
It's not.
Or Barcelona?
It's also not.
Okay.
But you're in the right neighborhood.
And search. It's something like that.
Yeah.
And then
the map, they draw where these people are going, how
right.
they end up. So they, they want to leave from Lisbon. They're in Casablanca.
Right.
So it's the route they take in the middle.
Okay.
That's the one I want. All well-known places except for one.
All right. And
what about Marrakesh?
No, not mentioned.
Gibraltar?
No. All good. You're hanging out in the right hood.
Yeah, well, you know, at least I got geography. I don't know.
Right. Casablanca. They make their way from Vichy, France. Bop, bop, bop. Okay. Think about that. And
this is Dana's first impression, I think.
It's really not an impression.
I'm excited to be here for this.
It's just that
Do you know the name of the narrator?
Voice.
I had never heard of him.
Yeah. I had a cold this week, and otherwise I would not be able to do it in that such a low voice.
It's really
Yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Margaret in San Francisco.
Hi, Margaret.
Hi, so the first SNL host you're thinking of is Cicely Tyson.
It was Cicely Tyson. Very good. 1979.
Very
good. Just recently after Sounder,
not,
I guess.
Not even a hard one. I was there. I saw it.
Really? You saw it in person?
Sure.
Oh, very nice.
No.
Saw it on TV.
I wish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Is Bill Clinton on Letterman's list?
No.
Oh, that's a very good guess.
It is a great guess, but no. I'll add that there are no more politicians on the list, oddly
right,
enough.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. What is that word he keeps repeating, Casablanca? And search, and search. No, it's not that. It'll come to me eventually.
It will.
Okay, let me give you a question here. The BFI, which is the British Film Institute, which is a great, fantastic museum. If you ever go to London, I encourage you to visit. The BFI put together a list with after a national poll was done of the 100 greatest British films. I'm not going to ask you the 100, obviously, but I am going to ask you the first six because they're all very well-known films. So what are the six, according to the BFI and a poll done nationally in Britain, greatest British films of all time? Then the second part of the question is, what is the one actor who is in the most, mentioned the most in the 10 greatest British films?
So in the top 10, which actor appears the most? This is a regular, not a film critics poll. These polled regular.
This is a popularity contest. So again, these were elected the greatest British films of all time, according to the British Film Institute and a national poll done. I'm just asking you the top six. And what actor is most mentioned in the first 10 or so?
Sean Connery?
Not Sean Connery.
I'm going to guess a movie or two. How about Lawrence of Arabia?
Yes, Lawrence of Arabia is number three. And I will say that in the British films, it is film critics, but it's also popular appeal. And they're a little bit more erudite in the way they perceive film and film history. So,
but these are all major films that have.
Oh, they're all very major films. Great films.
Is Bridge on the River Kwai one of them?
That is not one. That's not quite a British film. These have to be British films. And Lawrence of Arabia actually was a British film.
Meaning it was produced by a British film studio?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Bridge wasn't, huh?
Bridge was not.
All right.
So again, what are the six greatest British films of all time as decided by the BFI, the British Film Institute, and a poll done? And what actor is in most of the, not, I should say, I shouldn't say that. What actor is most mentioned in the 10 greatest British films of all time?
What year is the most recent of the top 10 films or even the top six?
I will say that Lawrence of Arabia is right up there as far as recent.
Okay, so these are old.
Yeah.
Is Alec Guinness in the actor?
Yeah, Alec Guinness is the actor.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Very good.
So he's probably in more.
And he's in Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah, I know.
So
that's what made me think of him. And I was thinking he's in Bridge on the River Kwai as well.
But no.
All right. So I got to think of British
think
films
it over.
Here. Yeah.
Think it over.
How about the original Oliver Twist?
Not Oliver Twist. No.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hello, you're on.
Yeah, hi. This is John from Bernal Heights.
Hi, John.
And I have, by way of Rick from Bernal Heights, a guess on the third line of the poets.
Oh, good.
And would it be W.H. Auden?
It should be. It is.
That is correct.
Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm going to make just a mad guess on British films. Mrs. Miniver?
No, that's an a Hollywood film.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a Hollywood. Oh, it has to be made in Britain. And wasn't there a David Copperfield back in the?
There was, but that also was a Hollywood film.
That's also. Oh, okay. All right. So I guess I'm
with a lot of British actors in it.
They have to be made in Britain.
Right.
That the idea.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Right.
I'm wondering, in Casablanca, were they going to Tangier?
They were not. Well, they might have been, but it wasn't mentioned by the narrator.
What about Algiers?
No, neither.
No, all right, those are all in the neighborhood.
They are.
All right, well, thank you. Yeah, good night.
Across France, and then making the long trek across to...
He doesn't mention the word France, I don't think.
Doesn't mention the word France.
But it's we're all over the right territory. We just need the
four
places.
And it's not search and search and search.
It's not.
It's not. It's not wander. It's not,
it's not wander or search.
Okay. All right. Let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Carrie, you go ahead.
All right. So back in 2014, Ben Blatt of Slate magazine crunched the numbers to determine the top 10 celebrities mentioned in 29 years of David Letterman top 10 lists. And I think Dana might have another one.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
I was thinking of something else.
Question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
So we already have Regis Philbin, Oprah Winfrey, Donald Trump, Madonna, and Michael Jackson. So we're looking for five other celebrities who were in a great deal of David Letterman top 10 lists. Also looking for, in my four answers required question,
right.
The first answer is the surname of the character actor who directed the novelty video for the highest ranked song in Dr. Demento history. When you change one letter, you get Parton, Dolly Parton. When you change one letter, you get Barton of Barton Fink. And you change another letter to get the fourth answer, which is the surname of the genre-transcending actor whose primary and ultimately unmet goal in his soul music video appearance was arresting the band. This man was better known for his roles in a number one miniseries, a children's show, and a sci-fi franchise.
Would it give it away if you gave the name of the video?
Probably not. It's
not
Cameo's Word Up. So he is an officer in Cameo's Word Up, and he is sent out for some unknown reason to arrest Cameo. Does not happen for him.
And I am looking at the beginning of Casablanca, even with Dana's excellent impersonations. Six different places. Six different places in the world are mentioned. We have Lisbon and Casablanca. We're looking for the four others and the word that ends the narration that's repeated four times.
Right. And they come to Casablanca and wait.
Yes.
And wait.
Yes.
And wait.
Yes.
And wait.
He fades off. Wait is, wait is the right answer.
All right.
And we're looking for four more places.
Okay. And let's see, what do I have here? The five most recognizable symbols around the... Oh, I'm sorry, did you...
No, that was it for me.
All right, the five most recognizable symbols around the world. So far on the list, we have the Olympic rings, McDonald's arches, and the Coca-Cola. Maybe it's the bottle, maybe it's the logo. But there are two left on the list, so what are those? They're not religion-related, just to help you with that, and they're not computer-related or internet-related, really.
And they're not buildings or statues, it sounds like.
They are not buildings or statues.
You mentioned earlier flags. What about the Union Jack?
There are no flags on the list either.
And it's not like the Great Wall of China or the Eiffel Tower.
No.
We're eliminating those. Okay.
And also, the British Film Institute did a survey of film critics and popular vote on the greatest British films of all time. They had the 100 greatest British films. I'm only going to ask you the top six. So, again, what are the top six greatest British films of all time? These films have to be financed. They don't necessarily have to be made in Britain because Lawrence of Arabia was, a lot of it wasn't made in Britain, but financed, a real British film. So Lawrence of Arabia is number three, and that was one.
How about In Which We Serve?
No.
Oh.
That is on the list, but it's just a little further down.
Okay.
But no, not In Which We Serve.
Right. And you said Lawrence of Arabia was the most recent?
That is the most recent in the top six, anyway.
How about Brief Encounter?
Brief Encounter is number two.
All right.
You've never seen that, have you?
No.
Well, she might have. Was that the 30s?
1945.
All right.
Yeah, Noel Coward, short story, or play, right. I should say. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi, this is Kathleen in Oakland.
Hi.
And I was calling about W.H. Auden, so John from Bernal Hunt. Thank you. So I'll take a guess. Is one of the Alec Guinness movies for the British Film Institute in the top six, like perhaps Lavender Hill Mob?
No, that is on the list, but it's just not in the top six.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
How about then Kind Hearts and Coronets?
Kind Hearts and Coronets is number six.
I get a bet.
Never seen that, have you?
I have actually heard about that one. I
good.
Know he plays several roles in
he
it.
He does.
Like
it's quite a, it's quite a good
role.
Movie.
Okay.
Is that
see,
the one Tom Hanks remade with the
No, he did The Lady Killers.
Oh, that's
I'm right.
I'm owed a bell there. I know.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Okay. Right. It's your turn, I think, here. Yeah. I think it is.
Yeah.
Oddly enough. Oddly enough, also a British question, but YouGov, an internet-based marketing firm headquartered in the UK, compiled a list of the best-loved British comedies.
Oh.
What are the top three Britcoms of all time?
Oh.
This scoring is based on a percentage of British adults who both liked and favored the comedies.
Are these all movies or TV shows?
These are TV shows. These are Britcoms now.
It has
comic.
To be Fawlty Towers. It has to be number one.
Fawlty Towers is number two.
Oh, number correct. Two.
And how about, well, how about Monty Python?
No.
No.
You know, I can't remember now because I looked at this list a while ago if that's because it counted as sketch comedy or if it was just farther down the list. I kind of think it was just farther down the list.
Are You Being Served?
No.
Which I didn't like that much, but I know it was very popular.
Okay.
It was fun to watch.
Okay.
That lady's hair was so very
yeah,
purple.
It was. That's why. Yeah.
Fawlty Towers is number two.
Fawlty Towers is number two. I will say that the number one show, I don't know that they actually ever showed it in the U.S. The number three show, they absolutely did.
Was it the precursor to The Office?
No.
Oh.
No.
Also
you
called
mean
the
office?
Office? Yeah.
No, no.
I didn't want people to confuse the two. Yeah.
And they're all situation comedies, kind
yes.
of, sort of? Okay.
All Britcoms.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, that's me.
It is you.
Glenn in Oakland.
Hi, Glenn.
I got aced on that Cicely Tyson because I like, dropped a cell call. And then,
good for you.
And, you know, I want to also dispute. I thought it was Richard Pryor for first.
I think you're right.
But I was watching a DVD last night, and I happened to come across Samurai Night Fever, and O.J. played the brother.
Oh, okay.
It's awkward. So okay. OJ was on obviously an early host, but
there are lots of African American athletes who've hosted the show,
yeah.
including OJ. Which
well,
is
OJ was also.
I only bring up OJ because I wrote him down for the top 10 list.
That's very good.
That is very good, and in fact, number three.
Good,
nice.
Well, all right, then at least Richard Simmons probably isn't on that.
Oh, but he is at number eight.
Yeah, of course.
Well, I used to tape it at night and watch it in the morning with, you know, when they had VCRs and you could tape TV shows back then.
The good old days.
Right.
Well, you can actually find all the lists online. Some kind soul typed every single one of them up and put them online. So
all the top 10 lists?
Wow. All the top 10
right.
lists.
Oh, wow.
Well, we can't go online during the show.
Oh, no, no.
Not,
obviously,
not
you'll
allowed.
Wait, you'll
no.
wait 20 minutes and then you'll go online.
No one's ever done that, we know.
I hope not. We have an honorable bunch here.
We do.
Orson Welles was in a film called The Third Man. Was that made in the Brits?
It was indeed. As a matter of fact, it's number one.
Nice.
I'm hitting home runs here.
You what are.
What about the radioactive symbol?
I'm sorry, say it again?
Oh.
The radioactive
Not the radioactive symbol. No.
All right, well, swing and a miss. Okay, good night, Garrett.
Thank you.
that was good. How about the poison symbol, the skull and crossbones?
Oh, that's good.
Come on.
Yes, the greatest British film mentioned was The Third Man. And how about the Letterman thing? How about Dave's mother?
No. No, that's very clever, but no.
I don't think she was much the object of humor in the top 10 list. She was,
maybe. Maybe. Yeah. That's
yes, she was.
True.
Was she?
Yeah.
My mom did something.
I liked it when he would visit her in her kitchen, and he would always ask her to open the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And it was always full of beer.
No.
Which I thought was...
she was good. Yeah. But none of the people were related to the show directly, right? So
no.
It wasn't Paul Schaefer or the guy, you know.
No, I'll say that the number 10 answer is related to another one of the answers on the list that was already given. But I'll let you figure out who was
who was with Regis Philbin? Kathy Lee Gifford,
yeah, number 10.
That's a great clue.
So we are still missing two more. Right. What about the stop symbol, stop sign?
Nope.
Boy, those are popular symbols.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I have a question for you.
All right.
So what are the classic seven wonders of the world?
The pyramids of Egypt.
Mm-hmm. The only surviving one, by the way. All of them are gone.
The Hanging Gardens of Babylonia.
Very good.
The Colossus of Rhodes. Sorry.
Very good.
The Lighthouse of Alexandria.
Right.
He mentioned that before, but that's fine. Yeah, that's good. And the gun. So
well, the pyramids of Egypt.
You mentioned the only surviving one.
We can mention that a couple
that's
more
the,
times.
Yeah, right. That's
so we have we have four of them.
We have four. So what else?
Wasn't Nebuchadnezzar?
There's the library, right?
The library.
The Library of Alexandria was not one of
the lighthouse. It's the lighthouse at Alexandria,
which is what I said.
It was destroyed in 1201.
Colossus of
Rhodes.
Pyramids.
Yeah. Okay, what else?
Pyramids. Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
You already mentioned that.
Yes. It's the only surviving one.
You know, for fun, leave it to the audience. I have an answer from a couple of weeks ago. I asked you, what are the only two liquid elements at room temperature?
Oh, mercury and bromide.
How very good.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to answer that one.
You weren't allowed to answer.
No, you told us we had to leave it for the audience, so you didn't even let me.
Okay, just one correction. You said it perfectly, but it is bromine.
Oh, bromine. You're right.
Yeah, bromide is a salt of bromine.
Sorry.
Greg, happy holidays, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, Laurie, I think it's your turn.
All right.
This is
a what do these interesting people have
no
in
more
common?
Casablanca questions?
I have more, but I'm going to save them. This is what I've been saving.
Here we go.
Wait in Casablanca. And wait.
That's right.
Very nice. If you go earlier, we
Thanks
can get all the
that
cities.
Up. Appreciate it.
Yeah, if they don't have them by the end, we'll play that at the end. Very nice.
This is good to know that if they ever make a remake Casablanca, Dana has some voiceover work.
That's right.
He does. He's got it nailed.
Only when I have a cold.
All right. So what do these seven well-known people have in common? William Jennings Bryan, Eddie Cantor, Amelia Earhart, William Taft, Johnny Weissmuller, Sojourner Truth, and Warren Harding. It's like my favorite list of people who have nothing to do with each other have this in common.
I'm sorry, what was the last one? Oh, William Harding? Or no,
William Harding. Yeah. So it's William Jennings Bryant, Eddie Cantor, Amelia Earhart, William Taft, Johnny Weissmuller, Sojourner Truth, and Warren Harding.
Can you frame it in some way?
It's a place they all visited.
Did they all sleep in the White House or in like Lincoln's room or something?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say almost every guess I won't know, but as far as I know, they didn't. The presidents did. Well, I don't know if they slept in Lincoln's room. I don't think Eddie Cantor did.
Did they all stay at the Palace Hotel?
Not as far as I know. I don't think Sojourner Truth would have been allowed.
Harding died there.
Yeah.
Only
Harding died.
Someplace they all visited.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it like that.
Is this in the United States?
Yes.
Go
ahead.
Does it have to do with anything geographical, like the top of the mountain type of thing, or
not that kind of thing?
Or okay.
So you mean like Pike's Peak or something along those lines? It's nothing like that.
And does it have to do maybe with when states were admitted to the Union?
No.
Okay.
Nothing to do with
that. Did they all visit this place for the same reason?
Yes. Approximately the same reason. I have to leave it like that, but yeah.
Oh, were they all maybe in marathons that went over a bridge?
See, William Howard Taft did a marathon.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot Taft was on the list.
All but Taft did that. I think Eddie Cantor was a marathon guy.
William Jennings Bryan. Okay. All right.
And they did not do it at the same time. The place they visited was not. So it wasn't like going to a World's Fair or the Olympics.
Was this building related? Do they all have a building in common? Like, say, the top of the Empire State Building?
The place they visited had a building or buildings on it. Mm-hmm. So, yes. But it wasn't, it wasn't the Empire State Building or it wasn't a landmark like that.
Okay.
All right. And let's go to a call.
It's a surprise.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, guys. It's Alec in San Francisco.
Hi, Alec.
So, working backwards from Dolly Parton, I remember something I read in the obituary when the great Bill Paxton passed away.
Absolutely.
Good job.
Which is that he directed, I think, the video for Fishheads.
That's absolutely correct.
Wow.
Yeah, and you know what? There's a false trail in that, too, because at first I thought about Billy Mumy, who was one of the two guys who wrote that song.
Mm-hmm.
And then that got me to Lulu, who performed the title song of a movie in which she acted, I think.
To Sir With Love.
With Love.
Right, but that requires more letters, I think.
She did write that, I think.
You're bringing Lost in Space and To Sir With Love together.
So we need the fourth. Do you have the fourth person?
No, so we have Paxton to Parton to Barton to a guy who was in a cameo video, a number one miniseries, a children's show, and a sci-fi franchise.
Yeah, Cameo was real big at my high school, but I never watched their videos.
Word up.
I have some other guesses. Saddam Hussein on the top 10 list?
No.
Ooh, big guess.
He was a real good punchline for Letterman.
Right.
Twice. The only person who was talked about as much as O.J. had just been talked about was Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah. No, but not on the list.
Okay, and last of all, one of Letterman's favorite whipping boys for reasons I don't know, Willard Scott.
Oh, that I'm actually now surprised that you say it, that it's not on the list, but no.
Yeah, it didn't get there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Best Love Britcoms, I'm just going to pitch in The Young Ones.
No. That was on the list, just not in the top three.
That's a drag. And for Best Loved British Films, let's try The Red Shoes.
No. That's a great film, but no.
The Man in the Ice Cream Suit?
No. You mean The Man in the White Suit?
Yeah,
no, not in the top six.
There's another
six.
Movie called Man in the Ice Cream.
So right,
I was thinking of the one with Alec Guinness.
Right.
Okay. Hamlet, Olivia's Hamlet?
Nope.
And Black Narcissus?
No.
Bummer.
Though I love Powell and Pressburger, so I like your taste.
Yeah, me too. All right, thanks, guys.
All right.
Was Hamlet Olivier's Hamlet? Was that a British film?
It was a British film.
But it's not in the top six.
Yeah, no.
Did all those people maybe throw out the first ball?
I love that guess. But
okay. That is a good guess.
Didn't. Again, I don't think Sojourner Truth... would have done that. Yeah, in her life.
Does anything to do with Washington, D.C.?
No, nothing at all.
She lived in Washington, D.C. lived in Washington, D.C.
It's not political in any way that we would consider political. So it wasn't like ceremonial, that kind of thing.
Is this in a city?
Yes.
If you told us what the city was, would that give it away?
It would.
They all go to Mardi Gras.
No.
Okay.
But
Sojourner Truth, I know. Whatever.
Well, she might have, but no.
Yeah, does it anything to do with San Francisco?
No. No. The city's not San Francisco.
Okay. And
it's a Midwestern city.
I want them to be in like
Chicago. And it's a tiny city.
Oh.
Well, Chautauqua would be a really good guess.
But that's in New York.
That's in New York. But I mean, it's more Chautauqua than it is Mardi Gras. It's not, but I mean, I like that. And it's a small little town that had big attraction at the time that isn't there now.
Mm.
I'm looking at the
clock. Oh, that isn't there now.
I don't think so. If it is, it's completely not what it was.
Sir. Okay, I was thinking amusement.
Another
park
good guess.
Thing, but no. That's
no.
Too early.
And I should say, I don't know for sure that it's closed down. I'm pretty sure it is.
This whatever it is in the Midwest?
Mm-hmm.
The Knoxville Wig Sphere. It's gone.
But it's closed down.
Okay, so that means no.
Is this something in the Chicago area?
It's not far from Chicago, but a much smaller town at a different state.
Are they in Peoria for some reason?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Much farther
I'll give a hint. Yeah. It's health related.
Like a spa.
They all went to the Kellogg spa.
Grand Rapids, is it?
It's in Battle Creek.
Battle Creek, of course.
So the Battle Creek Sanitarium, run by John Harvey, had a combination of religious, spiritual, scientific, quack, and unquackified things. And a lot of what they did was develop the cereal, which was a lot of it, the cereal.
The they Kellogg had the cereal. Cohen Blow.
Yeah.
Cornflakes.
Well, the cereals were bought. The Kellogg cereals were developed kind of to reduce sexual aggressiveness.
No, graham crackers were developed for that.
Well, they all were. All those things, and they were considered to reduce sexual desire, and also to be very healthy, especially.
Doesn't work.
Not Raisin Bran. Bran Flakes. Well. I don't discourage our listeners. Anyway, so they all went to the Battle Creek Sanitarium, which was officially called the Western Health Reform Institute, and they also dealt with serious things like tuberculosis and all that, not successfully, from what I understand.
Yes.
There's a new book about the Kellogg brothers that seems interesting.
Yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
You've moved.
Yeah. I have. I do that a lot.
Come back.
No, I don't. I don't really. I would love to, but the rent is too damn high.
Yeah.
As they say in New York City. Britcom, how about Absolutely Fabulous?
It's an absolutely good guess, but wrong, I'm afraid.
Oh shoot. About Benny Hill.
No.
Oh.
Thank God. All right. Cities, the places for Casablanca. How about Marseille?
Yes.
Yes.
Give him a bell.
Okay. Good. Finally. Letterman people. How about Terry Forster?
No.
No? The Fat Tub of Goo?
No.
I don't know Terry Forster.
He was a pitcher for I think Atlanta back in the 80s.
Yeah, he Letterman also pitched for the White Sox, but he used to make fun of him, huh?
Yeah, Letterman used to, he was like 300 pounds or something. Letterman used to ride him all the time. Mookie Betts would be the other one that I remember. He liked saying Mookie a lot.
Yeah, much like he liked saying Boutros Ghali, but not on the top 10.
No,
or not the top 10 of the top 10.
How about George Steinbrenner? Okay.
No.
Oh,
ooh,
that's a good
one. That was a good one.
Yeah. Okay, British films, how about The Third Man?
That was number one, but somebody got that a little bit before you.
Oh, they did?
That's okay.
I'll put a vote in for Withnail and I, but I doubt it's up there.
Nope.
That's way post.
Oh, the last one, the cameo. I don't suppose that was a famous character actor, Bela Bartok?
No.
No?
LeVar Burton. Yes. Thank you.
Okay, great.
Nice.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Excellent clue.
And let's see. We should. Oh, take one more call. All right, one quick call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Karen from the Richmond.
Hi, Karen.
Hey, so for the best British films, it's 39 Steps.
Yes, very good. Number four. Yay. Excellent.
Okay, and then for the symbols, the Nike swoosh.
That is not in the top five.
Yeah.
No? Okay, what about hammer and sickle?
That is not in the top five.
Okay. And then what about, is it a car, brand? Like
it's
Ford
not a car brand. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, time to clean up.
What about a circle with a slash through it for no?
No.
Okay.
How about the number one?
No.
Dollar sign. No.
What do you got?
Okay. The last two people from the top 10 list, those Larry King and Martha Stewart.
Oh, Larry King. Yeah, you did Larry King.
And the number one ranked Britcom is Only Fools and Horses. The number three ranked Britcom is Blackadder, the Blackadder series.
Oh, yeah.
That's so good.
That's good.
All right. So, David, do you have the beginning of Casablanca, or should I just read the answer? Okay. The ones that weren't mentioned were Paris, French Morocco, and then a coastal city I've never heard of called Oran, O-R-A-N. And then they mentioned they all want to go to the New World. I didn't count that as one of the places. Okay. And that's it for me.
Okay. Let's see here. The five most recognizable symbols around the world, the ones that nobody got, V for victory, and Superman S. Believe it or not. The greatest British films, the only one that was not gotten was Great Expectations, the 46 version, and Alec Guinness was in that. And that that is it, I think. If we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Do hope you enjoyed the show. Feel free to email us anytime, mindsovermatter1, that's the numeral 1, at gmail.com. My thanks to our panel tonight, Kira Pace, technical editor.
Pixie lover.
Lori Fisher, professor emeritus at Apple Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to David Latulipe and Steve Wilcott for handling board and phones. Got to go. Have a great week, everybody. Join us next Sunday. Bye-bye.
If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's got to be this or that. If it ain't dry, it's wet. If you ain't got...